Hello and welcome to Matter Under Mind. I'm Brett Vollert, and we will be talking about science today, because why the hell not? Here at Matter Under Mind, we're looking to help people think more, help people, I think, fulfill who they're supposed to be, which is thinking things, which is what Rene Descartes said a long time ago, I think, therefore I am. And he went on to say that we are thinking things at the core of us. So here we're here to think. And you know, a lot of times people think that it's too tiring or, you know, not worth it, or things are, you know, not applicable to their daily lives. But here we think that it is, and that it's worthwhile to think and have an examined life and all that. So that aside, a little tirade about what we are. We're going to be following along with some of my articles. I'm going to kind of do a verbal description and discussion about a few of the articles I've written. So if you want to look at the actual articles, they're at matterundermind.com. And this one is What Makes a Species? We're going to talk about what is a species? And I think you'll be surprised to learn that most biologists don't know, and they're not really agreed upon it. So when I first discovered this species problem, I was in college, and I thought biologists knew what a species were, and I thought it was all locked and loaded. But the truth is that no one can really agree on how to define it. No one can really agree on which definition is the best definition, and there's over 26 definitions of a species currently. And they're all called species concepts. So we're going to go over four of them. Like I said, there's 26 of them, and I can't go over all of them. But I wanted to highlight four that I think are interesting, and then kind of give you my philosophy on what a species is. Which, you know, spoiler alert, it's not a defined thing. It's kind of more on the spectrum, more blur than a still image. But here we go. So the first one is the first one I learned way back when. It's called the biological species concept. And it is almost entirely rooted in reproduction, and sexual reproduction specifically. So there's three tenets to this one. I'll kind of go over them and I'll tell you how each of them kind of create issues. So number one is that a species can breed in a natural environment. That's a non-laboratory setting. So we capture two animals and we force them to breed in cages. That doesn't count. It's for number one. Also, this causes issues because any sort of maybe one set of species gets, one singular species gets geographically isolated from the rest of it. This is actually a force of evolution that causes them to separate, but over time. But that also causes problems because there are definitely species that can interbreed, but they just have geographical barriers. So that's something to think about. So that's number one. Number one is that they breed in a natural environment. Okay. Number two is that they produce viable offspring. So their offspring have to be able to procreate, right? And then the baby has to be born and able to survive, you know. There's a lot of species that can give birth and the animal won't live, that sort of situation. And then the last one is that offspring will then be fertile. So, you know, that's pretty simple, straightforward, right? They gotta be able to breed, they gotta be able to have babies that live, and those babies have to be able to have more babies. So a situation where, you know, two animals can breed and their offspring won't be fertile is something like a liger. Ligers are a mix of lion and tiger. First of all, they don't really breed in a natural environment, so violates number one. They're not really viable in the wild because, frankly, they are too fat and they cannot catch anything. And number three, their offspring won't be fertile because, the liger is not fertile. It's an infertile organism. So that's a great example of something that violates all three of those. Is a liger a species? No, according to the biological species concept. It's something, but I guess it's not a species, according to this. But something to think about is this is pretty much all based on sexual reproduction. That's one mode of reproduction in the wild. Now, reproduction is incredibly important, and sexual reproduction is incredibly advantageous because it gives you variation, and variation allows you to adapt to different environments. An asexual organism might benefit from not having to pair up their members of their population in order to reproduce, but they will not benefit from the variation that allows them to survive if their environment changes. So asexual organisms, not great at adapting to environments. And sexual reproduction is by far the most utilized reproductive mode. You know, plants, animals, obviously a lot of bacteria and stuff like that don't sexual reproduce. But as far as the animal kingdom and plant kingdom, it's pretty widespread. There are other species, though, that can switch in between asexual and sexual reproduction. So, anyways, that causes problems with this biological species concept, right? Because asexual organisms don't fit any of those, but they're genetically identical. So how could they not be the same species? They're pretty much genetically identical. They find some ways to have variation, but not a lot. So to fix that problem, scientists come up with the genetic species concept. Okay, and this seems like a very 21st century idea. Hey, we can map genomes, we can map genetics and DNA of organisms. Why don't we just separate them by their DNA? Why don't we do that? Well, first of all, those lines are blurry too. A lot of people think that DNA has everything to do with, you know, phenotype, which is basically the genetic expression of that DNA, or the physical expression of the genetics. But we all know that we're very close to primates, 99% or something like that. It's 98, 99, right around there. But we also share 90% of our genes with cats. We share 80% of our genes with cows. We share 60% of our genes with bananas. So there's definitely some blurry lines here. You know, where is it? Does it have to be 100%? Because even there's some humans that probably aren't 100% identical. You know, I mean, there obviously are humans that are 100% identical genetically. So that becomes a problem. That same genetic variation that's so advantageous also makes it hard to sort of identify along genetic lines for a species. Also, you know, there's some species that are genetically almost identical, like polar bears and grizzly bears are a big example of this. They're very genetically close to each other. I've heard some other videos talking about this topic say that they only separated about 500,000 years ago, which means that they're very close genetically, and they can also interbreed in the wild if they're, you know, if their populations overlap. So that becomes a very big problem because those two species don't look alike. You know, we wouldn't say a polar bear and a grizzly bear are the same species. They're adapted for different environments. They have different diets. They have different physical appearances. One's a lot bigger than the other. So how do we fix this? What if we just did it by their behavior, by their phenotype, by what they look like and how they do things, basically? This is called the ecological species concept. One problem with this is that, it's a problem with a lot of them, is that 99% of all species that ever existed are dead, right? So we're just looking at bones. It's hard to determine behavior by bones. It's hard to determine even a lot of the looks by bones. A brown bear and a polar bear, and, you know, a grizzly bear and a polar bear's bones next to each other are going to look like, you know, maybe one's a little bit bigger, but this is a bigger version of it, and they're the same species. It's going to look very similar. And then, you know, there's a lot of species that share the same niches and also look similar, that, you know, like a lot of large cats and stuff like that, that would be troublesome to define this way. But the big point with the ecological species concept is that it'd be difficult to deal with any of the fossils, which is true about the first two as well, actually. And so the phylogenetic species concept tries to sort out all the mess. This is basically the family tree of species concepts. If you are related to this and this, blah, 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 you get to be a species. If you're both related to the same thing and it seems like your family tree leads to one point, then you're a species. This doesn't make any sense, really. It falls into the same problems as all the other ones. It's blurry, you know? We're using, to make those phylogenetic trees, we're using fossils, and how are we determining what's a species and what's not by those? Well, mostly by phenotype. We're looking at what they look like. If they look similar, then we make them a species. If not, then we don't. This is a huge problem back when dinosaurs were first, like, discovered. Every paleontologist wanted to name their dinosaur a new species. But a lot of times, it was just a bigger version of the same species. Or it was a juvenile, or something along those lines. You know, I've heard a lot of people say that Brontosaurus never actually existed. It's just because someone wanted to name it. It's actually a different species that was already named before. So that's a big problem. We're seeing, I think you can kind of see right now, that the species problem is very real. There's not really a set definition that we can draw lines in the sand. It's kind of very blurry. Darwin himself once said, and this is a quote I put in my article, "No one definition has yet satisfied all naturalists. Yet every naturalist knows vaguely what he means when he speaks of a species." I compare this to the Supreme Court ruling about pornography. Basically, that it's hard to define, but you know it when you see it. And that's kind of the impression I got from my time in the biological academia, is that it's kind of I know it when I see it situation. And there's no set rules, but there is actually some consensus about what a species is and what isn't, because that's what guides them, is consensus. And enough people say this thing, and pretty much everyone just agrees. So there's still work to be done in this, and maybe eventually we'll have a set reason of what a species is, but really when you're looking at it from an evolutionary time scale, organisms aren't snapshots. They aren't, you know, you can take a snapshot of time, but that's just one brief moment of a history of an organism. And they are blurry. They blend from one thing to another. And that's the whole point of evolution, is that it's something constant, something that creates change. And the whole term species might be kind of misleading, because that is not what an organism is. Although, in the sake of organizing, and scientists love to organize, you know, it's a term we use very frequently, especially when we ask questions. So this is a big one. I have a lot of friends who don't believe in evolution. You know, I'm a Christian personally, and although I believe in evolution, and I have lots of friends who don't believe in evolution because they say one species can't evolve into another one. That's the big one. They say, we've never seen a species evolve into another one. We have, you know, many times in our history, even, you know, in the past 50 years, we've seen speciations, which is basically one species becoming another species. But the problem is that the term species is so vague, we don't really know what that means. And for one species to become another species, not really that much has to happen a lot of times. Like I said, if you follow in the biological species concept, all you need is for one branch of that species to be geographically isolated. Technically, it's another species. There's been other instances where species have actually not been able to breed with each other because they've been isolated for long enough on short time scales. But what they really mean is a changing of kinds. You know, people who don't believe in evolution, is they don't believe that there can be a changing of kinds from, you know, say, a fish to a mammal, those sort of transitions, which take lots and lots of time. And no, we have not seen that sort of thing in our lifetimes. But we have seen one lizard become a different type of lizard that can no longer breed with the lizard it was before. We have seen that, and lots of plant species too. So that's just to clear up the issue of, have you ever seen a species evolve, or macroevolution sort of idea? I don't know if I'd call one species a speciation of that a macroevolution, because what they really mean by macro is a changing of kinds, not a minute change to a species. Anyways, so that's the discussion about species. I'd love to hear anything you guys have to say about it. Feel free to leave a comment, and hope to talk to you guys next time. Thanks.